This morning, I want to talk a little bit about safety and security. I'm speaking about spiritual safety, what protects us from temptation, what protects us from drifting away. So I want to begin with a question. Now, I don't want you to answer this question. I just want you to think about it for a bit. Do our church standards keep us safe? And I'm thinking more than just the written standards, but our culture, our lifestyle. Can that keep us safe? Is it supposed to keep us safe? So hold that thought, and I want to tell you a story that has nothing to do with church standards. Up until 1967, in Sweden, cars drove on the left side of the road. They'd just always done it that way. And they kept talking about switching over to driving on the right side of the road. There were several good reasons to do this. Most of their cars were left-hand drive, like our cars. So if you're driving on the left side of the road, you're sitting over on the edge of the road, and that led to some traffic accidents, especially on narrow roads. Now, there are some people here who work for Knisley Brothers who could tell us what that's like, sitting on the wrong side of the truck over by the ditch. Another reason for making the switch is that in neighboring countries, I think that would be Norway and Denmark, they drove on the right side of the road. There was lots of cross-border traffic, so cars leaving or entering Sweden would have to move over to the opposite side of the road. And that was really confusing and inconvenient. So finally, on September 3, 1967, they made the switch. And this was a massive project because they had to change the traffic lights. They had to switch the signs to the other side of the road. They had to paint new lines on the road. I believe they actually started painting the lines in advance and then covered them up somehow and then uncovered them the day of the switch. They had to replace their city buses, replace them or modify them with the door on the other side of the bus. So this was a massive undertaking. Finally, the big day came, September 3, 1967, and all non-essential traffic was banned. If you didn't have a good reason to be on the road, just stay off the road. At 4:45 in the morning, all the cars stopped. They drove over to the other side of the road, the right side of the road, and stopped again and waited till 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, an announcement came over the radio that Sweden had officially switched to right-hand driving. Now, a lot of people were concerned about the huge number of accidents that would happen after this switch. They were bracing themselves for a rise in traffic accidents. Well, you want to guess what happened? The number of accidents dropped dramatically. Obviously, it's because people were actually paying attention. They were watching where they were going. They were looking out for other vehicles. Motor insurance claims dropped 40%. And then over the next about 6 weeks, they gradually returned to normal. Okay, so back to the question I started with about safety. I think you can see where I'm going with this. there's an interesting quirk in human psychology that when we feel safe and comfortable, we can lower our guard, stop paying attention, and actually make us less safe. So I call this false security, or the illusion of safety. Now, I want to be sure I'm not misunderstood. I'm not saying that we should just do away with church standards and culture. The solution to false security is not to intentionally seek danger.
Right.
But what I want you to think about this morning is is the danger of complacency and where we put our trust. What do we trust? Does the thing that makes you feel safe actually make you safe and secure? You know, a guardrail at the edge of the road can make you feel safer, but if you plan on that rail stopping you when you look at your phone to send a text, you might be badly disappointed. We talk a lot about nonconformity. We're careful to live nonconform to the world. But you know, the world isn't just out there. It's in here sometimes. The world's an evil place, but if you examine your heart carefully, you can see your own tendencies to do the same thing. Now, I'm not going to talk about Samson every time I have devotions, but I couldn't help thinking about him as I was preparing this. It's easy to see how Samson's overconfidence led to his downfall. It seems like he was used to just walking into the land of the Philistines whenever he felt like it, and depending on his superhuman strength to get him out of a jam. And that overconfidence eventually led him to make a huge mistake that cost him that strength. When God led the Israelites into the promised land, he warned them about this very thing, about becoming complacent and forgetting him as they enjoyed their new prosperity. Deuteronomy 8, 10 to 14. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. In Egypt, it was easy for them to remember their identity, their national identity, and their religious identity, because they felt that every day, that they were strangers and pilgrims in this land. They didn't belong here. And we know what happened after God gave them this warning. Many times they did forget God. And we see throughout history how how persecution has purified the church. Now, I'm really glad that we don't suffer persecution. I'm glad we live in a free country, but that freedom brings with it its own temptations. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, the context of this verse is a warning to believers to avoid the mistakes made by the Israelites. Most of that chapter is a reminder about the mistakes that the Israelites had made. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, ye shall never fail. And in conclusion, I want to read 1 Peter 5, 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What's the opposite of sobriety? It's frivolity. The opposite of vigilance is cluelessness, not paying attention. And this verse isn't calling us to live in fear or uncertainty or insecurity. It's just calling us to be sober and vigilant. Pay attention, but live boldly and confidently. Let's kneel for prayer. God, I thank you for your promise of protection and safety. Thank you for protecting us. And God, help us to, while we enjoy your protection, help us make sure we never fall into the trap of complacency. Bless the remainder of this service. Pray your blessing on Sunday school and on the message. Help us to keep our minds focused on you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.